WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latte from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show. You know what keeps me going here, filling in for Brian, is the vision of Brian stretched out on a towel by some body of water sipping an appletini as we're talking about all this cool stuff here back at the station. I hope he's having a good time. I'm having a good time here with you. Designers, graphic artists, or anyone with a visual knack, you and I need to talk because you're invited to take part in the Map Your Moves Data Visualization Challenge. What we did was we asked our listeners to fill out a form that lists everywhere they've lived over the last decade and why they have moved in the New York region. Almost 2,000 of you responded, and now we need artists, graphic designers, you know, design folk to make that information beautiful and to help that information communicate. We're making all that data available for you to download, and we want you, if you could, to present the data as something visual so that we understand it, like an image, or you could do a little YouTube-style movie, a map. Those always work, something you could click on. It's up to you, but download the data set and find all the information you need at the website, our website, wnyc.org, and then click on the Brian Lehrer Show, and then you'll see what to do from there. All right, well, Tokyo, London, Sydney, Australia, here we come. New York City is on its way to get cell phone service underground, in the subway. Now, we'll have to wait about 6 years for all 277 stations to get hooked up to Wi-Fi, which is kind of cool, and cell phone service. But once they are all connected, New York City's subway platforms and will be known more than just, you know what, you get cool people doing, you know, steel drum concerts now, and will be known more for the wonderful conversations that we're going to start overhearing. There are those of you who will be overjoyed that you can whip out whatever the BlackBerry thing is in 6 years' time and start flailing away at the keys during your commute. But I expect maybe some of you are a little concerned about this. As a habitual rider on New Jersey Transit, where you can use often cell phone service even in the tunnel underneath the Hudson River, we do get treated to a lot of the personal lives of a lot of people shouting into their cell phones. I mean, you know, the other day I'm sitting next to someone who behind me was very, very upset. My heart went out to her. But what she was saying to the entire train car was, "How come you took today to break up with me?" she said, possibly to her boyfriend at the other end of the phone. I'm not sure it was appropriate. So we're going to have an Emily Post moment today. We need, I think, some rules of etiquette for when finally you can use the phone down in the subway. Call in with your guidelines for how New Yorkers ought to behave when it comes to cell phone service. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or go to WNYC.org. To help me with this is Peter Rojas, who's co-founder of Gadget.com, but it's Gadget without most of its value, without most of its vowels.
Without any of the vowels.
No vowels at all. Welcome, Peter. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me on.
So it's GDGT.com.
That's
Golf
right.
Delta Golf Tango.com, gadgets and consumer electronics site.
Yep.
All right. So what's the plan here? Phasing this in, huh?
Well, as you mentioned, lots of other cities in the world have cell phone and wireless data service on their mass transit systems underground, and New York will eventually join those ranks. What the city did is they cut a deal with a company called Transit Wireless to actually build out these a network within the tunnel, within the stations, not necessarily within the tunnels. So you might not be able to make that phone call throughout your entire ride. It's mainly going to be within the tunnel, within the stations, and not the tunnels that the access is being offered. But it'll actually add about $46 million to the MTA's coffers over the next several years.
And what, they're going to charge the cell phone companies for access?
Exactly. What they'll do is Transit Wireless will then basically subcontract out to Verizon and AT&T, T-Mobile, and Sprint and charge them by the minute or by the megabyte to offer access to their subscribers, and then they'll pass along the cost to us.
There's a public safety angle here, right? I mean, things frankly do happen on the subway platforms, and it might help to be able to summon help at short notice using the cell phone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if there is an emergency or there's something going on or you see something suspicious, you will be able to call 911 or 311, you know, in an instant and be able to access someone who'd be able to help. I think that's one of the biggest reasons that you'd want to institute something like this. Of course, there are the downsides, and I know a lot of people have complained about being worried about having to listen to someone else's conversation, like you just mentioned.
Corey from Westchester, welcome to WNYC. What do you think about this, the cell phones on the platforms?
I'm enjoying hearing you tremendously today.
Oh, thank you.
Am old-fashioned. I don't want to hear people's conversation, not because it's personal. I'm a therapist. I hear personal information all of the time. I'm just so concerned that we can't allow any silence into our lives any longer. And I just find it very disturbing. I ask people please not to talk on cell phones if I'm in a restaurant or a public place. I get very dirty looks. I think the idea of 911 and 311 is excellent. I think that should be possible anywhere.
Oh, I see that your point. The idea was it would be maybe there might be cell phone access on the subway platform, but perhaps it would be limited to a 311 information call or maybe to 911 if there's an emergency.
That's what I think. If we can do that from subway, God knows there are enough emergencies that occur even in smaller rather than larger ways. But, oh, my goodness, can't we have a moment in our own heads? That's really my point. And I find it disturbing. I've gone into places to read my paper and drink my coffee or do my schoolwork, and I don't want to hear whatever it is. So that's my point of view.
Well, thank you. Corey, you're very
thank
elegant.
You,
you're very elegant in stating that. We have Jim from Long Island City who wrote on the website, his emotional temperature seems a little higher than Corey's. He writes, I don't want cell phone service on a subway. We survived for centuries without being able to talk or exchange messages with everybody in the world at every waking moment. We already have to endure cell phones on commuter trains, cranked up iPods on the subway. Why not just bring back boomboxes while we're at it?
Well, and a lot of trains, commuter trains and Amtrak, have quiet cars. So they're cars where you can't be on the phone, you can't be having a loud conversation. It's mainly for people who want to read or maybe listen to music on headphones quietly. And so it's conceivable that you might have to do that on the subway. Maybe the last three cars on a train will be the quiet cars.
They were experimenting with that, I just heard, for New Jersey Transit. I mean, it's an interesting notion. Alexandra from Queens, welcome to WNYC. Hi, Alexandra. Oh, she went away. It's all right. She was going to say that she tried this out in Madrid, Spain, I think, and she kind of dug the fact that she could use the cell phone on the platform. Sorry, we missed you there. Do you think this is actually going to work as a technical matter? I mean,
the technology's there. It's been done in other cities, so it's completely practical. It's definitely doable. It does cost a lot of money to wire up the stations and even more money to wire up the tunnels if they decide to do that later. But this company, Transit Wireless, I think is committed to spending a few hundred million dollars to do it. And it will take, like you said, about 6 years. But the technology is actually pretty trivial from a networking standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Mike, Upper East Side, welcome to WNYC.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I think that people should go around with little signs that they can roll up, you know, like the things you used to put on windows blinds. You know, you just roll it out and say, the whole world is listening to your cell phone call, your cell phone. And just so that they know, because they have their ears plugged into these ear phones, and they're talking as if there's nobody else in the room. They're the only people. And I think if you hold up a sign, somebody could make a lot of money selling these signs, you know, little thing that just rolls out and says the whole world is hearing your telephone call, your cell phone.
Yeah, it's using the principle of shame, perhaps, to police this a little bit. It's interesting, Peter. Technology is also moving forward, even as they're wiring the subway. I see a trend among younger people not to actually use the voice side of their cell phone.
Well, I was just going to mention that. I mean, I spend probably – I actually checked my my latest wireless bill, and I probably spend about 75 minutes a month talking on my phone, which is a lot less than I used to, mainly because I use my phone primarily for email, for surfing the web, listening to music, watching videos, Twitter, Facebook, things like that. And for young people, voice is actually really not even one of their top three applications for a phone.
Okay, so we just have to get used to the sort of thwackety thwack of the thumbs on the keypad, but that isn't quite as invasive.
And if you ride the subway now, you see people on their using a Kindle, using an iPod, they're playing games on their iPhone, they're checking their email on their BlackBerry. So people are actually already using their devices. They're just not using them to make phone calls right now.
Richard from Manhattan has a serious point. Richard, welcome.
Yeah, hi. First, in full disclosure, I do not own a cell phone for political reasons until the Congo situation is straightened out.
You're making a statement. But, all right.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, in light of the fact that the train bombings, the train station bombings in Spain were triggered by cell phones, if anyone has assessed the security perspective of this, including the cost.
That's interesting. In other words, a security risk with people using the cell phones in the subway.
It has been raised, and I'm not sure, how it's going to be addressed. It's something that could be done on an above ground train right now.
All right, Liz from Manhattan, you're welcome here as always on WNYC.
Thank you very much. I'm just calling because there have been so many times I've been running late and wanted to call. I'm late for a meeting or I'm late to meet somebody, and it would be such a great convenience just to be able to do that. We have to have cell phone etiquette, obviously, but it would be a terrific convenience.
All right. Maybe we can add that as curriculum in the beleaguered public school system is, train our young people when to talk loud and what to talk about on the cell phone in public transit. I'll have to leave it there. My guest has been Peter Rojas, co-founder of GDGT, Gadget.com, a gadgets and consumer electronics site. Peter, thank you so much.
Thanks.
I'm David Brancaccio. We've been doing the Brian Lehrer Show for about 3 days here. It's been a lot of fun. Andrea Bernstein will be hosting the show tomorrow. The Brian Lehrer Show was produced today by the wonderful Lisa Allison and an incredible staff, Paige Cowett, Jody Avergan, Alan Smith, Rachel Senator, and Alana Casanova-Burgess. Our senior producer is Megan Ryan. We had intern help from Rafael Vera and Alessandra Rubini. Debbie Fountain set the audio controls today. Please join us tomorrow when Andrea is in here. It'll be a great show. Have a great rest of your summer. I'm David Brancaccio.